I don't know if you know this, but you have an enemy. You've got a big, fat enemy that hates your guts. He doesn't just dislike you. He actually really hates you. And the Bible says that the evil one, ever since you were transferred out of his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and you were moved over into the kingdom of light, that he is bent on killing and destroying you. The Bible actually says that the devil walks around, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he could devour. And that is what his business is all about. And so today we go into a series called Prepare for War, because the Apostle Paul is finishing off his letter to his church family in Ephesus. And he's writing to them and he says, finally, be strong in the Lord. He's encouraging them to wake up, to be strong, because whether they realize it or not, there is a spiritual battle that is going on all around them. And many times it's a battle that we cannot see with our physical eyes. It's a battle that is only seen in the spiritual. And he's encouraging them, please be aware that there's a war going on, that there's a battle going on. And he tells them this, prepare for war. Lord Jesus, we come to you today and thank you that you have won the battle. Lord, that we know that the end is secure, that we know that our place is with you. And Lord, we know that we are fighting and battling a ultimately defeated foe in the devil. And so, Lord, thank you for that security that we have in you and in your power. And today, as we open up the word, God, I pray that you would encourage us, especially those who maybe, Lord, are going through it right now, who have been struggling, who've been hurting, who've been oppressed, who are wondering why things are happening the way that they are. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them in your power this morning. Lord, that you would build them up in you. God, that you would show them who their enemy is. God, that you would show them how they could put on the armor of God and be protected. And Lord, I pray that you would give them the ability to stand firm, that they would not back down, that they would not lose ground, that they would not give up, but Lord, that you would be glorified in their standing and in their armoring up and in their knowledge of what you teach us in your word. And Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name. And God's people said, amen. Hey, turn in your copy of the scriptures to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 10. The title for today's message is this: Strong in the Lord. Paul comes right out of the gate and he's just saying this, hey, I want you to be strong in the Lord. And then flowing out of that, he's going to basically teach us and teach his church three things that you need to know. You need to know your enemy, you need to wear your armor, and you need to stand your ground. So if you're taking notes, write that down. Hope you are. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Says this, finally, he says finally because he's kind of at the end of the book, right? And he's saying, finally, this is the last thing I'm going to tell you. I've been saving the best for last, and this is powerful. This is strong. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And so, boom, right out the gate, this is the overview. This is what he wants us to know, that we need to be strong in the Lord. You know, Paul's writing to a diverse audience there in Ephesus. This is a city that is overrun with the occult. It's a city with many false gods, especially the false god Diana and the great temple that was built there in her honor. And many of the people in the church used to practice witchcraft, and you can read about that in Acts chapter 19. And so there were people in the church that had been rescued out of that lifestyle, and they had seen with their own eyes the reality of spiritual warfare, and they were familiar with those things. And a lot of time in our Western culture, we discount those things, right? We just think of the devil as like a little bad dude on one shoulder and a good dude on the other shoulder, and we make light of that. We even make TV shows about things like that. And if you travel to other places in the world, if you go on mission trips around the world, you'll see that in Latin America and Africa, there are people who are really keenly aware of the fact that spiritual warfare is happening all the time right around us, especially for those who God is using to make a difference in his kingdom. And so he writes to those who may be struggling, but he also writes to those who have grown up in Judaism, and they probably are looking down on those in the church who are struggling with those things and wondering about how they can come out of that. And maybe they're feeling oppressed still by their former friends or by the demonic forces that they used to play with. And here's what he tells them both. Be strong in the Lord. First of all, if you're going to have spiritual power, if you're going to fight spiritual battles, you need to be in the Lord, right? And so if you're here this morning and you are not in the Lord, that is that if you've never had a moment in your life where God took control of your life and your life was hidden in Him, that is you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and only that. No working of any kind on your part, but only by the grace of Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross when He defeated all spiritual enemies on your behalf. Then you are in the Lord, and you have become in, you have come into a union with Christ. You have come into Him, and like have shared before here, you are like a bottle that's thrown into the ocean. And so the bottle is in the ocean, and the ocean is in the bottle. And that's kind of what it's like for us to be in Christ, to be in union with Christ. We are connected to Him. And so if we are going to have the Lord's power, especially for spiritual warfare, then we need to make sure, first of all, that we are actually in the Lord. Stop right there. If that's not you this morning, and you're feeling oppressed, and you're feeling beat up by the darkness of this world, that's step one. Go no further. You need to surrender your heart and your life to Christ. You need to bend your knee to Him and say, Lord, save me from this kingdom of darkness that I have been living in, this kingdom of deception. And Lord, please transfer me over to Your kingdom, the kingdom of light, so that I can be in You and You can be in me. And I can know the power that You have because the Holy Spirit is now living inside of me. And then he goes on to say this, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Why is he saying that? Well, this is great because this is the power source, right? To be strong in the Lord, for those who were proud, for those who thought they had a lot of knowledge and had never wrestled with those kind of things, and they maybe looked down on people that did struggle or that were oppressed, in their pride, they might think that their power came from them. They might think that they were all of that, and they didn't need the Lord in the same way. They might mistakenly think that their knowledge about God is their power. Your knowledge about God is not your power. God is your power. And when you are in Him, you can know a lot of things about God and not know God. The kind of knowing that we need to have about God is, yes, we need to have some mental knowledge about who He is and what He has done, but we need to know the Lord. And you know right now in this place, if you truly know the Lord and are known by Him, because it is affirmed in your spirit by His Spirit. And if you're wondering, I don't know if I'm truly in the Lord. I did grow up in church. I know a lot of things about the Lord, but I don't know if I'm in Christ. Once again, stop right there and make sure that you are in the Lord. Paul says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's one thing that we don't want to take for granted as we move forward in time. It's just like, I think I'm going to be okay. I think I'm in this side. I think my good works will outweigh my bad. They will not. Do not take that chance. Your power source is from the Lord. And so if you are a person who feels strong in and of yourself and you have some pride, put down that pride and say, Lord, like the Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, that is when I am strong. Because if God is going to use you, He's going to have to break you of that pride so that He can truly use you. Because when you are weak, that is when God's power can truly flow through you. And the good thing is this, is that for those who are weak, Paul is also saying, the ones who are trembling, the ones who are fearful, the ones who have been in contact before with the occult are going, I'm scared. I'm in Christ now, but I have seen stuff that I can't unsee. And Paul is saying, hey, for you, be encouraged, because you can be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And so if you're here this morning going, I feel weak, I feel helpless to face this world, much less face spiritual forces, you don't have to, because the power that you are going to use is not your power, it is the Lord's. It's much like this, a soldier signs up for the army, and so he becomes a part of the army, but the army becomes a part of him. There's a union there. And he goes into battle, and he makes a movie called Behind Enemy Lines, right? With like Owen Wilson. And so, you know, it happens in all those war movies, right? Somebody gets caught, they're ambushed, the enemy is stronger than they suspected. And their position is about to be overrun, and they have been told, stand firm, don't back down, don't lose ground. But they can't go out there and wrestle these people on their own, because there's an entire army, a powerful army coming against them. And for one person to go out there and fight and wrestle and try to win would be futile. Then they pull out that handy dandy radio, right? And they call that commanding officer and they say, you told me to hold my ground, to stand firm, but it's not looking good. And if you're counting on me and this rifle I got, we ain't going far. And that's when they call in the artillery and the shells start dropping. And that's when the jets start screaming overhead and dropping bombs. And that's when the enemy is pushed back, because it's not the power of one soldier. It's the power that's behind him. It's the power that is represented by the entire army. And you and I are the same way. We are not called to be Lone Ranger Christians out doing life on our own, all by ourselves, not allowing ourselves to be in community with other believers and in constant communion with God. Instead, we are called to be in an army. Here at Belmont, we are not just a church family. We are also an army of God, and we have been conscripted into His service. And so we don't get to just be neutral. There's no neutral in the Bible. There's no kingdom of darkness and kingdom of light. And I'm just going to, I don't want to know about that. It's happening all around you, and you need to be aware. You don't need to be one who overthinks these things and gives Satan more power than he really has in your mind, but you don't want to be one that totally ignores that either and is unaware of the spiritual forces that are at play. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. This is just the introduction. Whew! Strong in the Lord. One last thing about that. That's a command. Obey it. Be strong in the Lord. Jesus is not trying to sign up any weakling Christians for His army. Weak, yes, in the sense that you realize that the true power doesn't come from you. But the call for Christians is not to live a constantly defeated, constantly checked out, constantly unaware life just because they feel like they're in Christ and their eternity is secure, and now they're just lying low and hiding in their foxhole and not taking part in the power that has become available. You and I have a duty to stand our ground, to stand firm, and to not let the enemy overrun us. And so let's obey that command. Since we're talking about spiritual warfare today, we're going to stop right here and pray again. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word and how it teaches us and how it sharpens us. And even right now, Lord, we come back to you and ask for more power to keep going on, to keep finishing, to keep learning. And Lord, I pray that because of your word and your presence here today, that people would leave here built up in you, committed to you and your service, and knowing how to wield the power that is available to them. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. This isn't the first time Paul has mentioned to the Ephesians here that this power is available. And in fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, when we started out this book, we catch Paul praying for this church in Ephesus, and he says this, here's my prayer for you, that you would have the eyes of your heart enlightened. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. My prayer is that you'd have the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know, that you'd understand. What is the hope to which he has called you? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness, get this, the immeasurable greatness of his power? You can't measure the power of God. It's too great. Toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. And so Paul is saying, my prayer for you is that you would understand, that you would get a glimpse of this immeasurable power that God has directed at you. And it's according to the working of his great might. What kind of might? The kind of might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We celebrated that last week on Easter Sunday and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is a name, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The power that ascended him into heaven, the power that exalted him onto that throne. That is the same exact power that is available to you and I and to this church at Ephesus that Paul is instructing them to take a hold of, to apply, to appropriate into their lives so that they could have a life that matters here in this kingdom. And then he moves on and he says, you need to know your enemy. You need to wear your armor. And you need to stand your ground. Let's start in verse 10 again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Here's the overview, and you see all three of those things right here. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We'll start in verse 12, talking about know your enemy. For we do not wrestle, brothers and sisters, against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Know your enemy. He says you need to be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You need to know this, that the enemy is crafty. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, we saw that now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field. And he told Adam and Eve, did God say not to eat that tree? I mean, that's messed up. Did God say you would surely die? I mean, come on. I'm here to help you. You know, Satan usually doesn't come out and say, hey, I'm evil and I hate you and I'm going to try to mess you up. That's the idea behind crafty, behind deceiving, behind him being a liar, the father of lies. Is that what he tells you, what he does, at first it makes it sound good and you want to be a part of it, and he uses half-truths to be able to draw you in. And you need to know your enemy. You need to know that he is crafty. He is a schemer, Paul says here in this verse. That word schemer in the Greek is methodia. It's methods or the methodology that he uses. He is strategic in his attack against you and I. And so he's been scheming for thousands and thousands of years, and he's not given up now, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows how to do it. He is crafty and subtle. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul's writing another letter, and he is instructing these folks that something that they wouldn't have suspected is going on, because somebody in the church needs to be forgiven, and Paul needs to forgive them as well. And so he says, now if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. You need to get this person out of your midst. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. For this is why I wrote that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ. Why? So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Even the Apostle Paul is saying, I need to extend forgiveness to somebody because that is something that the devil will use in his craftiness to get a foothold in our lives. And the Bible says, do not give the devil a foothold. That is all he needs. And so this is just one example of how Satan can creep into your life and into your heart and allow just the sin of unforgiveness. Is there somebody that you need to forgive? Is there somebody that you're holding a grudge against that maybe you've said the words, I forgive you, but deep down, you know you haven't? You know you are giving the devil a foothold, a doorway into your life by holding on to that sin. And so Paul is saying you need to know your enemy and your weak spots, because if you have that, he will use that and manipulate that and wind up manipulating you and hurting you and those that are around you. Forgive. The enemy is crafty, but the enemy is also spiritual. We saw that when we saw, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And that can be the fight that many like to fight, right? Flesh and blood. Human beings. What I can see. I want to fight that fight. Especially the last 12 months. There's been a lot of crazy fighting going on, right? People have lost their minds. And sometimes even believers get sucked into the fight, defending ground that we were never called to defend, and fighting battles that we were never instructed to fight, and allowing ourselves to be offended or hurt or damaged by what was going around in the world and what the world is saying or where the world is going, and disagreeing even among believers about what to think about these things. And the devil can have a playground or a field day with such things. Because if he can sow a few seeds of division amongst God's people into God's kingdom, he knows that those things will take root and grow up, and he can use those in his warfare. And really behind that is the real battle. Behind that is the spiritual warfare that's going on, because our enemy, he is spiritual. He is a spirit being that is powerful, and he works, though, in the physical to make you trip up and to hurt you and to hold you back so that eventually you'll give up and you'll lose ground. Another thing you need to see is this, is that the enemy is evil. He says that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. 1 John chapter 5 says, we know that we are from God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. 1 Peter chapter 5 says that our adversary, the devil, he's evil, and he's walking around like a roaring lion, trying to destroy people. Revelation chapter 9 calls him Apollyon, the destroyer. And day and night, he is before the throne of God trying to accuse you. We live in a society where we try to chalk everything up to being just an issue. It's a problem. It's a condition. It's something that needs a little tweak. But as time goes on in our Western world, we're beginning to see more and more that that doesn't account for the atrocities that we're seeing. People who say there is no evil in this world, what we just need is more education. Eventually, that philosophy runs out on you because, for one, it's just false. There is evil in the world. And when you try to explain how someone could walk into a grocery store and shoot a bunch of people that they don't know, and walk into a school and hurt little children, or all the atrocities that we've seen just even over the last 12 months, mind you, not looking back on the last century, to go, how do you account for the darkness in humanity? It's because there are evil forces behind that. And I'm not here to depress you and to bring you down this morning, but just to wake us up to the reality that this is happening all around us. And if we turn our minds off to these things, then we'll make no difference whatsoever in the kingdom of God. We need to be able to know in our worldview how to account for the things that we're seeing and the trajectory of this world. And it's explained very easily in the Bible, and because of the fact that the evil one is out there trying to do harm to this world, and he will do that until his very last day. Know your enemy. What else? You need to wear your armor, right? We're going to keep on going here. It says in verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand firm then. So he says, you need to take up the whole armor of God, put on the whole armor of God in verse 11. And so he's using this metaphor of armor to tell us that we need to grow up as Christians, that we need to be growing, that we need to armor up. And how do we do this armoring up? In this metaphor, Paul talks about truth, that we need to know what the truth is, that we need to be a people of righteousness, that we need to be ready to share the gospel, that we need to be a people of faith, that we need to know the word of God, be in the word of God, that we need to be a people of prayer. And we need all of those things. And so this is not just a one-time thing, like, hey, let me read this real quick. What is the armor of God? I'm going to put that on today, and I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to be pretty good. You know, this is a lifetime of learning and growing. When you join the army and you go through boot camp, you don't automatically know everything you need to know about serving in the military. It's a lifelong learning process. And the same is true for the Christian life, that the moment that we are learning about truth and we are combating the lies of the world, there can sometimes be another area that we're dropping the ball in. And we kind of circle back around and go, you know, I was learning the truth, but then I was sacrificing righteousness. I started to think my self-righteousness was pretty good. And then God had to humble me and wake me up to the fact that my righteousness is only because of him. And then I started neglecting reading the Bible. I started neglecting reading the Word of God. And then I began to wonder why my faith began to go on a downhill slide, and why I began to doubt and wonder about the things that I had learned about God. And so there are these many facets to the Christian life. You might call them the spiritual disciplines that we need to put on. And this is not based solely on our work. This is based on the power of God, right? But you and I do have a part to play. The Apostle Paul says this, take up the armor of God. He says, put on the armor. God's not going to wake you up in the morning and you're just like all of a sudden wake up at 6 a.m. and you got a Bible in your hand. You're like, whoa, hey, what's going on, Lord? And the page starts turning by itself, and you're like, man, I just got everything I could digest for today. Thank you, Lord. I'm full of power. I'm ready to go. Has that ever happened to anyone here? Did anybody ever wake up in the morning and you were already on your knees by your bed praying and you didn't know how you got there? You might have found yourself on the floor, right? But you probably weren't praying. You probably had a couple of kids crawl in your bed and kick you out. Now that's happened to me. I didn't feel like praying at that moment. I felt like doing something else. You know, this armor, these spiritual disciplines that we put on, they are for our protection. And we need to have them all, and we need to figure them all out. And it's a continual process of armoring up, because Satan has many tricks to throw at the church of Jesus Christ. And if he can't get in one way because you're doing good in that area, trust me, he'll find another door to try to get into. And so we are counting on this power of God to know the truth, to combat the lies, to know righteousness so that we don't give in to unrighteous living, to know the word of God so that we can wield it like a sword, like Jesus did when he was being tempted in the wilderness by the same Satan. And he used the word of God to combat the lies of Satan and the offers that he was making, and to say, what you're saying is a half-truth, but the word of God actually says this. And that takes you knowing and being in the word of God. And then he says, you know what? You need to be a people of prayer. And you might say, well, Pastor, I love reading my Bible, but I have a hard time praying. Work on it. Don't say, well, that's just one thing I'm not good at. That's not an option in the Christian life. Well, I don't really like to read, so I don't really read my Bible, but no, stop right there. If you are in the army and you tell your commanding officer, I just really don't like doing push-ups, what do you think you're going to be doing for the next couple of months? You're going to be doing some push-ups and maybe some burpees. Throw them in there just for fun. You don't get to tell the Lord how you're going to grow. You are in his army and not the reverse. We are called to be a people of the word. That could be a struggle for you. We all have areas that we struggle. But that doesn't mean that we quit or that we give up. Instead, we need to wear our armor. We need to put it on and keep it on. And then we need to follow our marching orders. You know, we know what the word says, we put it into practice, and we obey, and we keep on doing it. I want to share something here with you this morning, that as a church, one of the ways that our army approaches this situation is to say, hey, we have a discipleship process. It's not a 100% complete, accurate, no flaws whatsoever. That does not exist on the planet. But we say, hey, here at Belmont, we want to help people be who God created them to be, a people who are in God's army, who are following Jesus, who are putting on the armor. And we do that with our believe, belong, become process, to say there's a component of this of believing in your head and in your heart about who God is. And there's a part of being in God's army of belonging. It becomes a community of people that you need right around you to help you grow. And there's also a component of becoming, that you're putting into practice the gifts that God has given you, the thing that he has called you to stand for or to protect, and you're going to move into action with the gospel readiness that he talks about, and you're going to share that. And so I want to share these things with you, because from now till the end of the summer, I want you to dig in to these things. And we talk about these believe, belong, become processes in really simple ways, and we can unpack them a whole lot. But one of the ways we talk about them is just in two layers. We talk about the scattered church and the gathered church. The scattered church is what we mean when we say you leave this place and there's 6 days where you're not here. You're actually, we're the scattered church. We're still the church. We're still God's family, God's army. But when we're away in this army, there are things that you and I need to be doing and be responsible to do every single day. And you'll see those. Number one in the believe column is devotion. And what we're talking about there is a daily devotion, a time in the word, a daily encounter with Jesus Christ in the word of God. We have a class here that we teach you how to do that if you're new to that. And then we talk about belong in the sense of your family, because we want to encourage every single person, no matter what your family unit looks like, to be praying together as a family. That is your unit, right? You might be here and be a single person and say, well, what does my unit look like? Your unit right now looks like you and Jesus, right? So pray, and God will empower you to do what he's called you to do. We each have a unique calling from the Lord. And then become, and we say the word neighbor here. That means that Jesus tells us to love our neighbors. And so when we are scattered, each of us should be reading our Bibles and drawing closer to the Lord every single day. Each of us should be spending time belonging with our family unit, praying with our family or perhaps for our family that's not around right now, or for the family that might be coming, whatever that situation might look like. And also to look out your door to your left and to your right and say, who's my neighbor? And what does it look like for me as a follower of Jesus to love them? This is you putting on the armor of God in your life that you're living individually. But then there's a way that we put on the armor of God when we talk about the gathered church, as we come together and we work together as one army unit to accomplish God's will in our community. So in the Believe column, we say worship. That's this, right? This is the vehicle that we talk about when we say worship, that we gather together. The Bible says to not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. Why? Because it's super important that God's people get together and they open up God's word together and they sing together and they share testimony together and they celebrate what God has done in their lives. And it's just a beautiful place for God to meet his people and to grow them up. But then we also talk about belong, and we say, hey, we would love to see every single person at Belmont be a part of one of our community groups. And so that means that you can't just sneak in the door here, come on a Sunday, sneak out and be like, eh, it was all right. I might go back, I might not. But that's what I give. I give that 1 hour, but during the week, I'm on my own. I just want to be left alone. I got a busy life. If your life is too busy for Christian community, you're a bad soldier. In fact, Paul says this, that a good soldier should not get caught up in civilian affairs. So if you're too caught up in civilian affairs that you're ignoring your duty as a believer to be in a unit under someone's command and to grow with that unit during the week, you're too busy. And so we want to encourage you to be a part of a group. And then we say team, because as one family, as one army, we each have a role to play in the gathered church. For some, that might be music. For Joel, that might be the kazoo that he mentioned earlier. For some, it might be running a camera or holding a door or putting out a sign or greeting people as they arrive or taking care of children or cleaning a building or mowing the grass, things that collectively need to be done that God has gifted us to do. It could be going on a mission trip together with your church or hosting a VBS. There's all kinds of things that as the gathered church, as the gathered army, we do together. Are you with me? So there's a calling on your life individually as a good soldier to do what God's called you to do. Put on your armor, read your Bible, pray, love your neighbor. Together, come together faithfully every time without fail. Now that we got online, boom, you got no excuse. Sunday worship, gather together with God's people. Be in community, serve on a team, roll up your sleeves, get involved somewhere in the life of the church. If you do that, that's a really great start for you armoring up and being prepared. And you've got people that have got your back so that they're looking in your life and going, hey, I noticed this, or hey, I want to help you, I want to encourage you. And together we fight this spiritual battle. Amen? All right. Know your enemy. Wear your armor. Last but not least, stand your ground. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, he goes on to say, next verse, stand firm then. Do it. Earlier he said, I want you to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. What's he talking about? Standing your ground. Well, there's many ways to think about this standing, so that you and I are stable, rooted, not pushed around, not easily swayed, not wishy-washy Christians, just going wherever the culture tells us or the latest person that you just talked to or the last video that you just watched, but that you can stand your ground, that you are stable. You know, one way that you can stand your ground is to be about the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58, you can write these. I'm going to run through some verses here. Write them down. You can read them later. You could stand your ground when it comes to you being about the work of the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. If you want to stand your ground, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, you know, I used to go to a church and I was really involved there, but, you know, the pandemic hit and I just kind of quit. So I'm not really doing anything right now. Stand your ground. Get back involved. Be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. How else can we stand firm? You can stand firm in the way that you think about the Christian life, especially in regards to your freedom and legalism. Paul says this, Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Get this. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. That is, they were enslaved to their religious traditions that did not provide any freedom. And Paul taught them about the freedom that they have in Christ. And he doesn't want them to lose ground. Instead, he wants them to stand firm in that. How else? You could stand firm doctrinally. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brothers, stand firm. Everybody say, stand firm.
Stand firm.
Yeah. Now stand up on your feet if you're here in person. Let's go ahead. We'll try this one more time. Everybody say, stand firm.
Stand firm.
All right, stand firm while I read this verse to you, all right? So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us. The traditions, the teaching, the doctrine that we've given you, either by spoken word or by our letter, you may be seated. Stand firm in what you believe, what you've been taught. How else can you stand firm? Hope you're getting all these. Man, you could stand firm under trial. You know what? It's really easy to backslide, to slip away, to hide away when the trials come. What does James 1:12 say? I'm glad you asked. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, that didn't slip away. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. If you're under trial right now, you feel like giving up, don't. Stand firm. Access the power. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and he'll give you the strength that you need to get through it. But you stand firm. You do not give up the ground. You call in the artillery. You call in the jets. But don't you back out of there. Don't give up. Stand firm when it comes to doubt. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to what? To deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Whoa, in last times, people are going to give way to the teaching of demons. You better believe that people who call themselves Christian in this day and age, in this country, are giving themselves away to the teachings of demonic forces. And it is happening all around us, and it looks like it's great and loving and the right thing to do, but they have been deceived by the crafty one, by the evil one, so that what is wrong and actually 100% against God and his word is what they are embracing, because they have let go of the truth. And so if doubt is creeping into your life, stand firm. Ooh, I don't know. The Bible says that, but I don't know if my friends in the culture are really going to go for that. I don't care what your friends in the culture think. And we love your friends in the culture. I love my friends in the culture who are living in outright rebellion against the Lord Jesus. But that they haven't been saved, transferred. We love them, but we don't affirm wrong beliefs. Don't give way to doubt. Stand firm. How else can you stand firm? Are you sure you want me to keep going? Great, I will. Thank you, guys. Man, you could stand firm when it comes to temptation. I tell you what, there's a lot of weakling Christians these days who give way to temptation the second it comes along. It reminds you of when Paul says, hey, when people are writing and they're saying, so should we sin more so that grace may abound? Absolutely not. Don't give way. Well, God will forgive me. That's my weak spot. So I'm just going to give way and then I'll ask God to forgive me later. You are a target for the enemy. And you are opening not only the door to your life, but the door to your army, to your church family. When you give way to temptation and you give in like that, and you don't stand firm. Hebrews 3:12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to do what? To fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness, by the craftiness of sin. There it is. That's what's getting them, is the deceitfulness, the temptation of sin. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our ground, if we hold our original confidence firm to the end. So what's he telling them? Hey, stand firm, stand your ground. Don't give way to temptation. You got a temptation that's eating your lunch. You got a temptation, a sin that you're indulging in that maybe nobody else knows about, that you've given yourself the green light on to be okay with. Armor up. Receive the power that the Lord has for you in your life, and you allow him to defeat that sin in your heart and your mind, and you run away when that temptation comes, and you be strong, and you don't give the enemy a foothold, because you have strength in the Lord. The power of his might is available to you. And what you are believing is wrong, because it's not a better way of doing things. You're actually selling out on the goodness that God has for you when you say yes over and over again to that sin that keeps eating you up, whether it's your attitude, your anger, your sorrow, your temptation, your lust, whatever it might be. You can have victory in your life over that thing. Know your enemy. Put on your armor. Stand your ground. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you've called us to be in your kingdom, to be soldiers in your kingdom. And Lord, thank you for making us aware that there is a real enemy out there that is against you, and therefore he is against us. Lord, thank you that you have made your power available to us. And Lord, I pray that every single day moving forward, that we would reach out for that we would pray for it, that we would ask for it, that we would acknowledge our weakness. And Lord, that you would help us to know our enemy, that you would help us to wear our armor every single day. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to stand our ground. The things that you have called us to do, Lord, that we would stand firm in those. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, thank you guys so much for hanging in there today. It's kind of a heavy message, but that's just the passage that we're at. So we just like to preach what the Bible says. And so come on back next week. We'll be talking more specifically about the specific parts of the armor of God and breaking those down in more detail. And so make sure you come back for that, and then we'll be finishing up two Sundays from now on this Prepare for War sermon series that we got going on. And then, like Joel mentioned earlier, at the end of this sermon series, beginning in the month of May, our plan right now is to begin to meet outside in the courtyard for the month of May. And so we're going to be out there, fresh air, it's spring weather, so it should be good. If it rains, we'll come back in here. But bring your own chairs, bring your own drinks. It's going to be a party outside. And I'm going to be doing a sermon series outside in the courtyard called Renew Your Mind. All right? That's because a lot of times we get sucked into the rut of life and bad thinking. and it corrupts our actions. And so we want to do a reset, right, on our minds and say, what do we need in my life? Because God can renew and transform your mind and change your thinking. And if you change your thinking, guess what? You will change your life. So I look forward to doing that. I look forward to learning on that one myself.